This podcast comes to you from the Pixel Labs podcast studio. As the world of marketing evolves, so must brands when faced with new challenges. We help brands grow by identifying opportunities to have real results. Welcome to the Raising Brand Podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Raising Brand Podcast. This is Aaron, and I am a brand strategist for Pixel Labs, and I'm really excited to have back Scott. Welcome to have you back. I'm excited.
Good to be back, Aaron. Thanks.
Just a little refresher for everybody in case you did not see the first episode with Scott. I really encourage you to. Scott is the partner owner of Iowa Media Company that have a couple large social media assets, one being Iowa Chill and one Midwest versus Everybody. And in that episode, we go way back to 2013. That almost feels like hundreds of years ago now. And talking about, how long it takes to build a brand, how they were able to be successful in building a brand, that first one being Iowa Chill, and then how they were able to take that and then actually kind of go into the next iteration of their company and introduce Midwest versus Everybody. So if you're at this point in this episode and have not checked that one out, I really encourage you to. But in this one, we actually want to talk a little bit about how to monetize your brand's audience. And Scott is like the guy with this. You know, he's been part of the conversations. They have partnerships now, have been very successful. But Scott, I would just be curious if you wanted to kind of open it up and talk about, maybe go back to when was the time you realized that it was time to monetize? And then what was that next step? You know, maybe where were you at? Where were your brand accounts at, following wise? But I just kind of leave it there.
For sure. Well, thanks again for the kind introduction, Aaron, and good to be back. but yeah, if you didn't hear the first story, definitely check out that podcast. It'll get a nice intro to this. But, I think, like you said, we've been doing this for about 10 years. About 5 years ago or so is when the formal LLC business had started. And I think, that's really when we dipped our toe in the water and said, we're going to monetize this thing. We knew that we wanted to do a Black Friday, Cyber Monday sale and offering that hadn't been done to this audience before, and just kind of prove the concept and determine, okay, can this really be a business for college guys, right? So we got started going there, and the reception was awesome, and it was just the validation that we needed to decide that we were really going to keep running with this and figure out how to be social media influencers. From there it really became like building, figuring out how to work sales material into our content on a regular basis with not, it was always in the back of our mind, we don't want to be spammy, right?
Yeah.
We were quick to recognize that like the reason people liked us was because it was all content driven, of course. So if we, poisoned that feed, we're gonna lose followers. Mm-hmm. So we always wanted to be careful about that and just have that delicate touch. I think if anything, we've determined it's more like a 10-to-1 ratio. If throughout a course of a month, looking at it now at a really high level, but if you can imagine like every 10 posts, then maybe putting out some type of promo material, whether it is for your own merchandise line, whether it is like a sponsored ad or something like that. Mm-hmm. We kind of use that as a little bit of a baseline. But yeah, moving, I mentioned it on our last episode together, but after the merchandise, the first thing that we tried to do is host bar parties. It's just, again, kind of leveraging that audience, leveraging, hey, we're going to be at this bar on this night, and how many people can we get in the room to pay the cover fee and run up their tabs.
Was that their idea, or was that your idea, the bar's idea, or your idea to do that?
It was definitely us coming to them and being like, hey, do we, can we have an avenue to, a venue, I guess, even better term for it, to just host something and see what we can get in, and how can you partner with us on that? We've had, just being in the college scene, you always have your bar promoter friends, right? And they're trying to give out free drinks at a certain bar. Like, we knew that we could be that to some degree. But as I said, it really wasn't the route that we determined we wanted to go.
Right.
And then from there, we really tried to figure out how we can, find what we like to call perfect partners. Partners that we can make content and memes and footage with, that is going to feel more like just traditional content in our feed versus an actual like advertisement. And so, long story short here, like 5 years since, or 4 years since that kind of realization, we're working with Coors Light as a beer sponsor.
That's huge.
And thanks, man. And yeah, it has been huge.
Small town Iowa working with Coors Light, that's huge. That's cool.
I mean, everybody's got a Coors Light in their fridge, right?
I love Coors Light. Yeah, that's cool.
Thanks, man. So, I mean, and it's been great working with them. They're so loyal to our brand as well. Mm-hmm. Like, it's an awesome kind of relationship that we have with them, where we work with, you know, corporate level and their marketing teams. But at the same time, we work down with the state level distributors in the area. And I know when those state level distributors and those employees are seeing their brand on our content, it really hits home for them. And that's when they, you know, they're getting messages from their friends that are saying, oh, we saw you on Iowa Chill and things like that. And like,
yeah.
So they love that kind of thing. And I mean, it's just finding those kinds of partners that it really feels like it's a good fit for everybody. That's really what we're on the hunt for now. And doing that for Iowa Chill, and then of course expanding that to the broader reach that we have in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting you kind of mentioned that. You're like, oh, I saw you on that. You know, I saw a post, and I think it's true. People don't hate marketing; they just hate bad marketing. You know, like being interrupted. You know, advertising that doesn't necessarily apply to them or mean anything to them. But I think about, you know, if they really enjoy Iowa Chill and they see a post about Coors Light that's within the right context and is funny and true to kind of what your messaging is and also what Coors is, like, they're going to eat it up. You know, why would they not love that? And so that's really something special there. And I have to think that that's so rewarding. You know, I sometimes imagine after watching a commercial, what was the conversation around the boardroom table that led to that? Because that was awful. And so I think about when you're in those meetings with those folks, though, it has to be so fun. Like, just talking about, like, what you can do, you know, because they get it. They get the importance of not being spammy or salesy. So that has to be a blast.
Without a doubt. I mean, that's really my background is coming from a little bit more as traditional as digital marketing can be, those kinds of environments where you have that agency and client relationship where it is all dollars, cents. How will this marketing strategy get us ROI?
Yeah.
You know, those perfect partners, when we find them, they're people that understand that it is just like, it's a billboard and it's a funny one. It's supposed to be the front page of the newspaper. It's not somebody signed up and bought something the second they saw this, but it's establishing that brand with our brand and that lifestyle that we've kind of been able to own.
Right. Well, and you want them to, and especially for a beverage company where it's so competitive. I mean, you go to a gas station or something, all the options that are there. I mean, you can go in front of any of those doors and pick whatever you want. You know, but if you've seen enough or if you've created that loyalty, I'm going to grab a Coors Light because that sounds awesome. Awesome. Only drink if you're over 21, though, so I don't know if that.
Very good. Very responsible.
Is there anything, like, do you have to do stuff like that in the posts or anything, just out of curiosity?
You know, nothing that we've been asked to do.
Okay.
We certainly rely on the legal departments of our clients to be able to help us. And we're very transparent about that. You know, they know we're obviously not their first influencer that they've worked with. It's really incredible to see, like, brands like that, the way that they want to make those kinds of influencer deals. And it's been quite a learning experience to see, like, how they've kind of, you know, been approached. Obviously, like, anyone's an influencer, they want to go grab the, you know, to find the big brands, call them up, and if you can pitch it, say, here's what I want to offer you. I think my background comes from a little bit different perspective where I'm able to really lay out and articulate exactly what, you know, a prospect, potential perfect partner of ours is getting from our audience in terms of, you know, impressions and then that expected engagement that, you know, is really the baseline of our success.
Yeah. Well, and I also think you've just proved that over time that you know what that, you know, what you need to do to get that. And so what I think is interesting too is and the reason I asked the question about the bars, if you reached out or if they reached out, you know, influencers especially, or folks that even just have an audience, sometimes don't recognize the value that they have. And it doesn't take, you know, I think it's pretty amazing with your own too, with your audience too, because you talk about, you know, them showing up to events, them buying stuff. And that's really the test of the brand is, you know, one, would they follow you anywhere, you know? So say your stuff gets shut down, are they going to be wherever you are at, or are they going to buy stuff from you? You know, you can have a million followers, but if none of them care,
right,
it doesn't matter. And we've seen it, you know, even at a very local level where somebody with less than, well, I think actually now they're over 2,000 followers, but they're getting legit sponsorships because it's 2,000 followers, but it's 2,000 people who are hyper local. So it's very right. localized, and they just love this person. And so, you know, your numbers are far higher than that. And so you're at a different level, but, you know, I just think it just takes reaching out, you know, trying the bar thing, not being afraid to go up and ask somebody, cause you never know. And so with your crewers, like I just be your, was that something that again, you reached out and talked about, or is that one that came in?
Yeah. You know, I guess I don't exactly remember. You know, I think it was probably more proactive, if anything, of us reaching out, trying to start the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it, just again, to the nature of who these partners are that we want to work with, we had been posting about them organically anyway, right? And mm-hmm. other beer companies. Now we're a little bit more careful about that since we've established a partnership. Oh. But like, you know, we recognized that they opened the door for us because we had made an effort to post about them before we were even, you know, talking to them, right? Like, it wasn't out of the blue that we were going to work with them. This was truly a great relationship because it was, you know, this market area, you know, and again, kind of like you were talking about localized, if you can choose a, you know, approach to spending marketing dollars, and you know that your initiative's focus, and typically it's geographical states mm-hmm. and territories. You know, being able to say Iowa Chilled, they're just Iowans. We want to put our money on that square. That put us in a really good spot. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I mean, that's a great point about the localization approach. Even 2,000 followers today, you can now get these kinds of brand deals, and those powerhouse brands that, you know, respect that influencer reach and affinity that those audiences have with the influencer. They're doing some really cool stuff to you know, incentivize those influencers, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
We recently were invited to Quick Trip's Media Day. So they're also a partner of ours, and, you know, there's a convenience store damn near on every single block in Iowa. Thanks. Power and the farmers, you know, they got to go out, the hunters, everything yep. that everyone's oh, yeah. doing all the
early
time.
Early morning
right?
Quick Trip runs, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. You know, you might have to drive 15, 20 minutes for a Walmart, but there's always a Quick Trip out back, right?
Yeah.
It was really fascinating to see how, you know, billion-dollar company, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, 30,000 plus employees.
Wow.
And they're right here in the Midwest, and they did this media day to reach out with influencers. I think there was probably 30 of us that they invited.
Oh, wow.
Media networks, so like around here, just like your local news stations and things like mm-hmm. that, but across all the Midwest, right? All the different ones.
And where is this taking place?
This is in La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Okay.
At their HQ. So they okay. invited us all out. They actually, you know, they put us up in hotels and everything. They took really, really good care of us.
Awesome.
And there's just like, though, seeing the way that they as a brand respect the media opportunity that we have and the reach that we have is like, you know, this is a really good space right now. It's a really good place to be. I think it was really cool, like seeing the way that they talked about radio DJs, and they said that, you know, if we look at it, they're really the first influencer. So we got a lot of respect for those folks because,
oh my gosh, yeah.
you know, you look at a TV network and you got content, which is, you know, the shows and programming, and, mm-hmm. and you got commercials, and there's not much else in between there. Maybe you have a news station, but for the most part, it's just those two mediums. But when you look at like a radio station, it's the content, music, and you know, shows, it's the advertisements, but there's also this speaker, this host, this DJ that's kind of the influencer of why you're listening to what you're listening to.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of really cool to hear, you know, again, huge brand. Sometimes you think these folks are a little bit kind of stale and slow moving,
yep.
but they're being very progressive on how they're working with social media influencers and influencers in general, right? It's really cool to see.
Well, so you got to mingle with those other folks then?
Yeah.
That's got to
yeah.
be cool.
Yeah. It's a, It was pretty funny. You know, you get a lot of those folks in the room who's listening to who. Yeah,
everyone's right.
Look at me. Look at me. I'm right. The influencer.
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, oh, my gosh.
We tried to avoid that as much as possible, but.
Well, and I think, and we've already talked about this a couple times, but you don't have any of your faces as a part of the, yeah. as a part of the brand. And so I think that that's always very interesting. Cause that's tough. I mean, to do that. And you've done that in a special way. And we've talked about that in that other episode. We talked specifically about that,
yeah.
How you've been able to create engagement. One thing I want to touch on that I think is really special about what you've shared is the idea of a perfect partner. I know my brother actually just got a deal. He has a good TikTok following and actually just got a deal. But you know, the importance of reading through the contract, knowing who you're working yeah. with, and you got treated really well because that's a really good partner, and you took the time to build that. Can you share a little bit about or share any advice about when somebody approaches you or you approach somebody, maybe what some red flags are in a potential partnership?
Yeah, you know, I guess I can't really. We've been fortunate, you know, on that side of the table. A lot of the people that we've worked with have been really reputable, you
awesome.
Know, partners. I would say, and you know, I can't think of anything that's been too much of a red flag. But you know, from our perspective of us, you know, hunting, looking for these kinds of opportunities, I think the biggest thing is laying out expectations and trying to do it in a way that's more professional than the next guy. Because mm-hmm. Social media influencing, it is still kind of a wild west, right? You know, you can say anything, I'm going to post this and I'm going to get you a million followers and all right, here's the cash. Can I see the analytics? Like, oh yeah, here's a Photoshop file of whatever. Like, you don't know what you're getting unless right. you can really sell it these days. So, I mean, it's just really about that. And, you know, again, I think, again, one of the cool things I picked up at this Quick Trip media day was when I asked them what they were looking for when they try to choose influencers. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, we look for people that are already posting about our content. And I think I mentioned that on the last episode or maybe earlier in this one. But when we look for those perfect partners, we want it to be somebody that's already kind of been popping up into our timeline the whole time.
Just makes sense.
And then hearing that validation from, you know, corporate company, you know, corporate marketing department saying mm-hmm. something like that to us, it's just like, okay, we're, you know, this is the right way to go about it. And just show them what you got, show them your hand, and then if you can make a deal. I mean, it's good old fashioned Midwest manners, right?
Right. Well, and wow, that's special. So it really isn't an advertisement at all. It's just we see the value that you are already giving us. And it's almost like we want to reward you for it. Of course, there's things yeah. to put in there, but that is awesome. Do you feel like that's the majority of the time folks are at that level where they're understanding all that? Quick Trip just seems to be killing it in terms yeah, of what they're doing and what they're looking for.
You know, I think Quick Trip is far and above in that sense. I haven't been to many of those kinds of media days, but just them being able to put that on and share with that. And again, just the generosity and the hospitality they gave us.
Mm-hmm.
It was an investment in us being a long-term partner for them. And it was just like so cool to see. They told us a story when they were there about an unhappy customer, I'll call it, that they had. That had purchased something from them and they took it back and said, you know, smell this, it's spoiled. Cash register says, go grab two more. We'll give you a $10 gift card. Get on your way. Sorry for the inconvenience. They're like, well, that was a pretty decent experience. Yada, yada. They told they come back home, tell their husband about the experience. And like, why would you take it to Quick Trip? They weren't the ones I bought that from. Like, oh, but they replaced it. And so she runs back to Quick Trip the next day and she says, you know, I just had to say, I don't think this was right. You guys did me too well. You know, I didn't even get this from here. But they're like, yeah, I know that. But we wanted to make sure that you knew what it was like to have a really good product.
Wow.
And so he's like, the CEO is kind of telling us this story. And he's like, you know, that $15 investment and that customer's experience that day turned them into, on average, a $42,000 lifetime client of ours.
Wow.
And it's just like, that really resonated, especially when the way that they treated us as influencers there, they wanted us to be their lifetime customer, their lifetime influencer. And it showed. It was really cool to see brands respect that influencer game like that.
Mm-hmm. That's like almost one of those like goosebumps stories. You know what I mean?
I know. I was like, it was cool to hear it come straight from them. And yeah. I mean, they'd probably jump in this room with you and tell you the story 10 times better, right? Gosh. But because they take it very seriously.
Cool. So very, I'm just thinking very tactically now, if I can talk, oh my goodness. Yeah. You know, if somebody's looking at pursuing some of those partnerships or wondering even if they're at a point that mm-hmm. they could be pursuing those partnerships, would you have any guidance for them or any advice?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really comes down to just your average reach on a daily or monthly basis and what your impression counts, just all those baseline metrics of you know, what the internet says it means to be an influencer these days. You know, Shopify, the staple name and having an online e-commerce store, they wrote a manual that says this is how much you pay for an influencer for this size, right? And like, it's just five bullet points. You know, if you're over 5 million impressions a month, you're making 50K a post, right? Their rule or their law or their rule is law, right?
Yeah. That's great. Cause I actually didn't know about that. And so,
I mean, they have all those kinds of resources out there. And it's not like, you know, you take it, you have to take it word for word for that, but it's a great baseline. And you know, when you're in charge of the media, you can kind of position it and say, well, I guess we got to eat this month. Maybe we can give them a little bit better deal than what the going rate is according to Shopify.
Right.
Or if it's going to be a 12-month relationship versus a single post, maybe we give them a little bit of a different kind of, you know, a rate. I think that's a really big thing to keep in mind, because a lot of these deals, I think, especially the ones that we more so that maybe weren't so much as the perfect partner, the longer term relationships where they do fall in line. You know, there was a lot of like hesitation. Is this going to work? You know, I'm going to pay you $5,000. You're going to get me a million impressions, but am I going to sell anything? And the fact of the matter is maybe not this time. Like, it's hard for us to tell. This is so much more of a branding and developing that brand loyalty and affinity with products that come across our timeline and content to our audience. But
I think that's great, and I'll recap one that you said earlier that I also think is important, but the being professional, you know what I mean? These are businesses. They want your personality to come through. They would like, you know, they always want to see that.
Yeah, sure.
If you're funny, they probably would expect you to be a little funny when you're talking with them.
Yeah, no doubt.
But, you know, I even like the importance of, it doesn't have to be a crazy nice email signature, but just like small stuff to dress yourself up a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. That's why we reach out as the Iowa Media Company and not Iowa Chill, right?
I was wondering about that. Yeah.
I mean, it's a big part of it. And it's just, you know, putting your best foot forward to make a good partnership.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, hey, Scott, thank you so much for sitting down again. This was very valuable, and I think you shared a lot. First of all, it's just fun. It's just fun to listen to. It's interesting to listen to, but also just like the little nuggets you shared about what it looks like to establish partnerships, how a good partner will treat you and what you should expect from a partnership. I think one thing that folks often forget too is, you know, while they are providing the service, they have to be in a good relationship. You know, it should be, you talked about, you know, is this going to work? If it's not driving, I mean, you should just, there's a point where you probably should exit. And so, but no, thank you again. Is there anything else that you have to share about any of this? Or?
No, I think this is awesome. I appreciate it and looking forward to next time too.
Awesome. Well, take care, everybody. And thank you for joining in. We've always appreciate your attention and time at the Raisin Brand Podcast, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Raisin Brand Podcast, powered by Pixel Labs. Remember to subscribe to stay up to date on all things Raisin Brand.